Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. I'm filling in for Alan Chartok on this Monday morning. And joining us now is the governor of New York State, Governor Andrew Cuomo. Good morning.
Hello. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Trying to keep the seat warm for Alan. And hopefully the next time you come on, it'll be with him.
Good. Everything's good with the doctor?
Everything's good. And he's given me some good advice for this interview, I think, which was ask the questions. So I'm going to do that. There have been reports about three-way talks for end-of-session issues over the weekend. What's the latest? What can get done between now and when lawmakers leave?
Okay. Here is the latest. And look, I said last week, you know, we go through stages of the legislative process, and you advocate aggressively for everything you can, and I feel very good about my advocacy efforts right after Memorial Day, basically. We communicated to the entire state the pressing issues, and I think we're making phenomenal progress. I already believed we were going to have the most progressively productive session in modern political history. But with the recent conversations, I think that's for certain. Last week, as you know, we handled the measles issue. We passed the new rent laws. I believe we have an agreement on the statute of limitations for rape in the second and third degree, which is a very big deal on our women's justice agenda. I believe we have an agreement ending the gay panic defense, which was codifying homophobia. I believe we have an agreement on the law on sexual harassment, changing the standard, lowering the standard, legal standard for sexual harassment against women so women have more protection. I believe we have an agreement on equal pay for women who still make 88 cents to a man's dollar. We have an agreement extending the Minority and Women Business Enterprise Program, which is the most aggressive program in the United States. I believe we're going to have an agreement on the farm workers bill, which has been talked about for many years. And my three daughters on Father's Day were very happy about that. They've been fighting personally for that for a long time. I believe we have an agreement on the climate change bill. And so that's all phenomenal progress. The open pending, if you will, come down to a couple of three issues that we have left. On the marijuana recreational adult use, it's not legalizing marijuana, it's for a recreational adult use. The main issue there is how much the state mandates. This is an issue that divides the state regionally and also generationally in some ways. But do we mandate that localities must do things, or do we leave the decision to the local governments?
Well, let's talk about that. Should localities be able to opt in to this rather than opt out? Would you support that?
Well, there's two questions, Ian. First is, what level? Is it just county or is it local government? In other words, if a county opts in, must all local governments then be included? Or a second option, it's not the county that opts in, it's the locality that opts in or out. So it's not what Albany County does, it's the city of Albany can control itself. And that's what we're talking through. I think there's a balance that we have to achieve here But I don't think we can run roughshod over local governments, and nor should we. On the surrogacy bill, the assembly, the Senate passed it. The assembly hasn't passed it. This is the bill that 47 other states already have, surrogacy, where an infertile couple can make an arrangement with a woman to carry a fetus, gestational surrogacy. 47 states have it. We don't have it. I think it's disrespectful to the LGBTQ community. The LGBTQ community has lobbied heavily in the assembly. They believe they have the votes in the assembly. Now, it's one thing for a legislator to say they support it and another thing for them to actually vote it. So I hope at a minimum the LGBTQ community deserves a vote on surrogacy from the assembly so they know who was for them and who was against them and who told the truth and who didn't. Prevailing wage is an issue that is getting politicized. I support raising the prevailing wage. I'm a pro-union governor. I always have been. How it's done is often the secret mystery with all these things. You know, government is full of good intention and poor implementation. If you do prevailing wage wrong, you'll actually cost union jobs. So I disagree with the bills of the houses right now. If we can make an agreement, we'll make an agreement. Otherwise, I told them I'm going to veto a bad bill because I'm not going to lose jobs when we work so hard to create them. We are discussing solitary confinement. I agree that we have to do reforms, that it's gone way too far, and much of the treatment is inhumane. I don't want to build $300 million in new prison cells. I am proud that I've closed more prison cells than any governor in the history of the state of New York. And I'm not about to build 300 million more in jail cells. That's just totally inconsistent with everything that we're doing. So that we're trying to work through. And then there's the issue of driver's license that we're trying to work through. So that's really those are the open issues. But the closed issues are just a phenomenal list of accomplishments. And I think everyone is going to go home with their heads held high. And remember, this is a very aggressive agenda that was put on the table first by me. And then you had a lot of advocacy groups pushing their own particular positions with members. So you're trying to do the right politics, but you're also trying to do the right policy, and they can often be different things.
Let me drill down into that, if I may, Governor. Let me just jump in here. Let's go back to the marijuana question. Do you think that the issue should marijuana be decriminalized even if there's no market set up during this session, you know, between now and the end of the week?
I think we should do it all together. I don't think we should do one component now and then come back and do another component. Let's just do it. We understand it. We've talked about it. Let's make the hard decisions, and let's make them now.
Does that mean that if the market is not established, if we don't legalize adult-use recreational marijuana this week, that the decriminalization will have to wait until next year?
Well, theoretically, you could scramble, and we have 3 days left, right? You could scramble and come up with a totally different bill, but I'm not ready to give up yet.
I want to ask about one other thing.
I tend to give up on hour 20 when there's 4 hours left in the session, just as a hint. Shartok knows that. He's watched me long enough. But
yes, he has.
I'm not ready to give up yet.
We did not ask you about the rent laws specifically, which were passed after our last conversation on WAMC. Were you happy with the outcome there? Because you sort of hung back and said on this show a lot of times, let the Senate and the Assembly come to an agreement and then I'll sign whatever they can pass. Were you ultimately okay with what they passed?
Yeah, I said I will pass look, I spent my life on housing. I started in my 20s building housing for the homeless. I was the nation's housing secretary. So I said the best bill they can pass, I will support. And I think they passed a very good bill.
Okay, back to the green light bill now. Obviously, the Democrats in the Senate have some concerns about the political end of it. So do the Democrats risk losing the chamber over this particular bill?
Look, this is the driver's license is an issue that is very controversial in this state. Second only to marijuana, and people have very strong feelings. And you have President Trump, who became president by running against immigrants, and this bill is basically seen as a pro-immigrant bill. So there's no doubt that there's a political downside, depending on the state that you're part of the state that you're in. Look, that's the story with all these issues, right? All the tough ones, guns. A woman's right to choose. These are all intensely personal, principled issues for people. And yes, you make enemies when you pass one of these bills. I passed gun control. I think the smartest thing we did right after Sandy Hook in Connecticut, the first massacre, that was before the past 5 years of massacres. And the gun people never forgave me. And my polling numbers went down. My father was against the death penalty, and he took a paid a terrible political price. But you're here to do the right thing, even if it's the tough thing. I don't think it's the politics on driver's license.
What is it?
How we write the bill is the legal challenge.
Okay, what do you mean?
The driver's license politically, we understand the pros and cons. There are 12 states that have passed it. We have to write a law that does not have an unintended consequence. That's what the smart people are worried about. In other words, you could be creating a database for the feds to use to actually track down undocumented people. And that's the balance. This is a legal question more than anything else. California passed the law, and they are now in litigation because the federal government is using their DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle database, to target undocumented people. So you create a driver's license for undocumented people. You just have to make sure that you do it in a way that the feds don't come in the next day and access that database with the exact opposite intention. We went through this in, New York City went through this when the federal government, I think, subpoenaed their information on the New York City ID cards that they had done for undocumented people. New York City, their only option was to destroy the data because they couldn't prevent turning it over. We can't destroy Department of Motor Vehicle data. So that's the legal challenge. And I'm going to be asking the Solicitor General in the Attorney General's office, who does the legal opinions for the state of New York, to review the law and assure us that the federal government will not be able to access the information or subpoena the information.
Well, can they get that done before Wednesday?
Yeah, we will have a draft bill, and it's as simple as, it's not as simple as, but the Solicitor General will have to review the bill and make sure we're not creating a problem by what we're doing. And that's how the bill is written and constructed. But the Solicitor General is very good, Barbara Underwood. I actually worked with her when I was Attorney General, and she's done a great job. She was the acting Attorney General for a while. She's argued many cases. So she's a top-notch lawyer, and I feel confident relying on her opinion, and I think the legislature should too.
But this issue about whether ICE could find a way into the data through this back door somewhere down the line, that's not the holdup for some of these marginal Senate Democrats, is it?
No. I think you have many people will have a political issue. Look, it is an unpopular issue. There's no doubt.
Although the Siena poll showed it had gained in popularity over the course of this session by a few points.
Yeah, but it is still unpopular. And depending on where you are in the state, it's very popular in New York City. It tends to be popular in the upstate cities. It's very unpopular in more suburban and rural areas. But look, this is one of those issues. I'll go back to guns. I was in the Clinton administration. They passed the assault weapons ban, and the midterm elections, we lost the many Congress people, and Democrats lost control of the Congress. Yeah, but those people did the right thing. I passed the gun bill. I went down 15 points in the polls, but I think I did the right thing. I passed marriage equality. It was controversial. We just passed Reproductive Health Act, which is a woman's right to choose. That made the Catholic Church and many pro-life people very, very unhappy. So, yes, there are political consequences. There's no doubt.
Let me ask you about a few other issues in the minutes we have left here. Automatic voter registration. Would you sign that bill?
It depends on how it's written. I have not. I don't know the update on that, to tell you the truth.
Oh, do you think it's a good idea, though?
I think the concept is right. I don't know where we are in the negotiation over the past couple of weeks.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, I think it was in one of your paragraphs about the issues that are remaining, this Community Climate Protection Act. So where are you on that one today?
I believe we have an agreement, and I believe it's going to pass.
Okay. What's changed? Because a few weeks ago, I don't think were as full-throated in support of it.
Yeah, it was the question of the distribution of the funding. I just want to make sure, you know, I understand the politics on these issues, and everybody wants to make all these advocacy groups happy. Taxpayers' money is taxpayers' money, and if it's taxpayers' money for an environmental purpose, I want to make sure it's going to an environmental purpose. This transformation to the new green economy is very expensive, and we don't have the luxury of using funding for political purposes. If it's environmental money, it should go for environmental purposes, but I believe we've worked that out.
Okay. What about electronic bikes and scooters? There's a lot of support in New York City to legalize those vehicles. What do you think?
There have been discussions, Ian. I do not know where that was left, frankly.
Well, do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I think the general concept is a good idea. I understand the traffic concerns and you'd need safety precautions, but I think it's a good idea.
So let's go back and look at the big picture now for the session. You came on this show a while back and talked with Dr. Shartok about your top 10 issues. From your vantage point between now and the end of the week, what are like the top three priorities from your end?
Well, the top 10, we have accomplished the overwhelming majority. So half full, half empty. I went through all the issues that I just stood up on and highlighted with Myra Savino and Andy Cohen, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
The women's issues, the issues that are important to the LGBTQ community. I think we're going to get that done. The open issue there is surrogacy. I would be very disappointed if it didn't pass. But
were you surprised that Gloria Steinem came out against that?
I think she didn't have the facts. I know she didn't have the facts. And I think there is, frankly, a generational issue on this also, where women respond differently. Older women versus younger women. I understand the concerns, and I believe we can have the protections to protect women's rights. Our bill is the most protective in the United States of America. Right now, you can go to 47 states and contract for surrogacy. In this state, it would say the woman has to have an attorney, the woman has to have a health advisor, it has to be reviewed by the Department of Health, and it cannot be because the woman is in financial straits and she's doing it because she needs the funding. But there is, I understand the other side, which is we don't even want women to be in a position where they could be exploited in any way. But on the other hand, we just finished arguing woman's right to choose, my body, my choice, and a woman can choose to end a pregnancy. Why shouldn't a woman, fully informed with counsel, be allowed to bring a life into this world? And you listen to these stories of an infertile couple who couldn't have a baby. There are women who say, you know what, if I can carry a fetus and bring a life into this world, I would like to do that. So give them the choice, as long as their rights are protected. But I do believe the assembly should take a vote on it. I don't believe in this. They say privately they support something, but then they don't take a vote, so nobody really knows how they stand, right? That's not transparency, and we're better than that. The prevailing wage, driver's license, and marijuana are the three big outstanding ones.
True or false, by the time this thing is over, sometime this week, New York will be on the verge of having legal recreational marijuana sales for adult use.
I believe it to be true, but I would not say true or false as if it was a measure of my credibility. We don't know. We don't know. I believe we can come to an agreement that will pass, but I don't know.
Have you had a chance since the last time we asked you about it to read Dick Gottfried's bill that would decriminalize sex work for women?
I have not read the bill, and I don't believe at this stage in the session you can pick up that bill, educate yourself on the issue, and have a reasonable conversation. That will go down on one of those controversial items list.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I said guns, reproductive health, et cetera? You can put right up there legalizing prostitution. I don't think people are going to do that on 48 hours notice.
Governor Cuomo, we are out of time. I want to thank you for coming on and doing the interview with me in Alan's stead. I sort of had a little Alan on my shoulder for this one, I think, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, but you know, Alan, and you know how I feel about Alan. I wouldn't want this to get back to Alan, so it's just between us.
Yeah, don't say it on the radio.
Yeah, but being from Massachusetts, you know, I think he has a Massachusetts bias that has, frankly, affected his New York sensitivity on certain nuances of important issues. I want to leave you with that, Ian. Because you live in Massachusetts, could you have had your judgment skewed? You're a Red Sox fan, which already, in my mind, means your judgment is questionable.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Think about that. Well, that's why I'm taking these cheap shots.
And Governor Cuomo, should be noted that Governor Baker of Massachusetts has a standing invitation to do this show as well. So maybe sometime the three of you can get together.
And by the way, Mr. Shartok has taken many shots at me when I was not on the air. So I would need the next 8 years to come even close.
Well, we'll keep the conversation coming. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ian. Thank you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.